Saturday afternoon, Sports Radio 92 on the game. Do want to tell everybody out there, because I know that, you know, the Big Stick and Odyssey app, you know, everybody from the Gump up to Paducah and then kind of eastward, including everybody in Atlanta, be safe today. I know that they, this is the spring and bad weather could fire up today, so I'm thinking about you. There, tornado sirens not far from me, south of me last night, so just do be careful out there today. I know we've seen this before and we're back to it again, so I just want to know I'm thinking about all of you and hope everything's okay for you. 404-726-0929. Obviously we're talking about the Falcons, and I didn't know this term till yesterday when I read it. This is such a thing as vesting Monday in the NFL. Well, who knew? I did. If you knew, God love you, you were ahead of me. Where players like Kirk Cousins get vested for the $10 million that he's due on Sunday at midnight, going into Monday morning, is for 2026. Okay, so could the Falcons trade him between now and midnight tomorrow night? Yes. Do I think they have a trade partner at the moment? No. I can't. You know, I can't even know to what degree. Like all we know is that Kirk Cousins went in and sat with Mr. Blank and said, I want to play this year. You got to trade me. And Mr. Blank said, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the football team. That's all we know, okay? Now, we can read into that, but that's all we know. You know, and that's all the Falcons wanted it out there. That's why we even know this, because the Falcons wanted that out there, not for you, not for me, not for analysts on, you know, sports television. No, that was out there for the benefit of 31 other NFL teams. We're really about 4 or 5. And did the Falcons get from Kirk Cousins his dropping of the note? Not that I've heard yet, but they may have. They just haven't said anything. Are they quietly talking to other teams? I assume so. But are the Falcons prepared to pay the $10 million tomorrow night and hold on to him until the fall and see if a star quarterback somewhere gets injured and they can maximize his value in a in-season trade? Yeah, sure, of course. So I don't know how this is all going to work out. But I think you make a case that if you've got something out there that interests you and somebody's willing, I'm just again spitballing here, that Terry Fontenot would want to make the deal in the next 36 hours, because the draft pick that he would want in a deal for Kirk Cousins wouldn't be a 2026 draft pick. It would be a right now draft pick. And I think Terry Fontenot would rather have that pick right now, especially if you don't have a third-round pick, which would allow you some maneuverability, and you wouldn't necessarily feel like you have to trade down in the first round in order to pick up a third-round pick. You could have a third-round pick, and if you still wanted to trade down, maybe you could have two. Again, I think he would like to have that option of having that right now, which is one of the reasons I think the Falcons have been somewhat quiet in terms of big-dollar deals. Not to say that they couldn't surprise and do a big deal, but, you know, if they could get another draft pick, Trey Hendrickson, which is not in our world, one of the things I've been reading is that the Bengals' demand on a trade is just stupid. It's like 3 first-round picks or something dumb. I mean, it's just so heavy that people are like, look, I'm not paying that dude $100 million. I mean, he's great, but I mean, if I pay him $100 million guaranteed and give you 3 first-round draft picks, and he doesn't work out or something happens to him, I'm in a box. And that makes a lot of people, no matter how great a player is, sometimes very hesitant, because it can destroy your franchise. Look at what Deshaun Watson did to the – thank God we dodged that bullet. I mean, as bad as it was with the noodle arm quitter or DoorDash Dez or the broke down liar, we dodged that bullet. Thank God they came in with $230 million worth of Deshaun Watson. Well, we'd be sitting around here going, oh, my God, we would have been in the throes of that still to this day. And so, thank God. So what do you do if you're the Falcons here? Do you think that they've started to fix things over there? Or is this offseason to you so far kind of a fail? 404-726-0929. Big day of college basketball. Again, we have a doubleheader here on the network tonight. On the network, listen to me. On the station. Big East Championship game at 6:15 between the Creighton Blue Jays and St. John's, and then followed by the Jacksonville State Gamecocks and Liberty Flames Conference USA Championship game. So Creighton St. John's, Jacksonville State Liberty, doubleheader starting at 6:15 tonight on 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow, since we have both teams playing, Hawks will be on V103 beginning at 5:30 against the Brooklyn Nets. And let's hope they don't have a third quarter where they get outscored 35-8. Oh, wow. So 5:30 for the Hawks tomorrow on V103, and then 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game from Mercedes-Benz with Atlanta United against Inter Miami. And again, we don't know about the status of Lionel Messi for this game, whether he'll play some, not at all, don't know. So we'll see how that kind of all works out. I think if your expectation is that you're going there to see, I think anybody who's in Atlanta is going there just to see Lionel Messi runs the risk of not seeing him. I would hope that you're going there to watch Atlanta United try and win a game and try to score. That would help. Because it's been a little bit of a drought here offensively since the opening game of the year. 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in on the Hawks. If you want to jump in, pardon me, on college basketball as well. Hey, I got a quick question for you, Eric Slaughter. Is Selection Sunday still, you know, such a, is it still really huge for you? Is it lost? Because it hasn't lost anything for me, but I read a story where somebody said, that, you know, the NFL draft has become, when we talk about non-sporting events, the NFL draft is so huge, and it is, that, and now with the new college football playoff selection show, that Selection Sunday has become somewhat less of a thing. Is that the case for you?
Well, first off, it was never that huge for me. I mean, whenever Maryland was on the bubble, I just sit back and wait and say, oh, did they get in and where are they going? Now that there are so many bracketology so-called experts and we hear pretty much every week, oh, the last four in, the first four out, the last four in, the first four out, I can just wait until an hour later and print my bracket out. So, and now that, and this is, and I actually, John, I would love to hear your opinion on this, because now that they've kind of stopped having, for years and years and years, your team would have to travel so far. They kind of cut that out a few years ago. They said, well, we want to keep teams closer to home so that they, you know, East Coast team doesn't have to go all the way to the West Coast if we can.
Right, the pod system, correct.
Right. That kind of made it a little less exciting for me, because it was a very few times, like I said, I grew up a big Maryland fan, and we'd wait to see, like, oh my God, we got to go all the way to Sacramento, we got to go all the way to L.A., we got to go all the way to Boise, Idaho. Doesn't really happen anymore. You're probably going to be within a 4 to 5 hour drive of your campus, so that's really good for your fan bases. So it's not as big deal to me as not. I'll wait and get the bracket later on, and I will read the stories of the couple teams that didn't make it and maybe figure out whether I agree with the decisions or not.
Yeah, I was doing a television covering Chattanooga Mocs. We made the tournament about every year. They win the Southern Conference. They didn't this year, but they, you know, they'll probably go to the NIT. But one year we were playing, that team, they won the Southern Conference, and the opening game that they played in the tournament was against the number one seed, which was the UConn that year, and UConn ended up winning the title again. And they had to play in Salt Lake City. So we fly all the way to Salt Lake City for a game between Chattanooga and UConn. And Terrell Owens was on that team. That was that Chattanooga team. Terrell was on the team.
Yeah, wow, that was a wild way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
But still, if you were a Huskies fan, you're like, wow, we got to go all the way from Storrs, Connecticut, all the way to Salt Lake City. Yep. And I guarantee you there probably was a regional somewhere in New York, maybe somewhere in Rhode Island, somewhere in Jersey. They're like, yep, nope, you're going to Salt Lake.
Yeah, this is before the pod system, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where they sent the number one seed all the way out to Salt Lake City. Travis Knight in that, you know, all those teams. Anyway, 404-726-0929 if you want to jump into the program. You have, again, one Georgia team tomorrow that's going to be, everybody going to see where Georgia goes, where they're going to be seated. You know, are there bid thieves still to come? Will Georgia be, I think most of the projections say a 9 seed. Could they drop to a 10? I guess they could. Semifinals of the SEC today, Tennessee, Auburn, and Bama, Florida. Did talk with our college basketball expert, Sean Tate. We'll bring that interview back later in the show to let you hear what he said. But one of the questions towards the end was I asked him if Auburn, which has already won the regular season title, if they win the tournament, how do you keep them from being the number one seed? And the answer is I don't think you do. Duke has done – John Shire's managed to keep Duke together despite the injury to Cooper Flagg, where – Louisville and Duke will play in the ACC championship game tonight, so it says a lot about him, and we'll see if Cooper gets back for the NCAA tournament or not. And the Big Ten semifinals today, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see if we get an Auburn-Alabama rematch in the SEC championship game. And that, look, again, if you're a Tennessee fan, I'm not rooting for an Auburn-Alabama rematch. I don't like any of these teams. I was just saying that just to say that. Oh, why do you hate on the Vols? Why do you hate on the Gators? I don't hate on the Vols or the Gators at all. It doesn't matter to me who's in it. You guys come, you know, I'm just talking about how great that game was the other night. Mark Sears made that play and these two rivals. But it does bother me a little bit again that everybody around, look, who's in? Clemson had a great year, correct? Tennessee, great year. Auburn, great year. Alabama, great year. Florida's had a great season. You're surrounded by all of this. And there's like this whole, and I don't mean this in any detrimental way to Mike White or Damon Stoudemire, but where's the state of Georgia? You know, where are we? You know, I mean, come on. I want to see Georgia back in. If you're not old enough to remember the heyday of Georgia Tech, and I'm not talking about, you know, 2021 and the run through the ACC tournament, and I'm not even talking about back, you know, 20 years ago when they made the championship game against UConn in that Jarrett Jack run. I'm talking about back in the 80s, where every year they were so good. They had the best team. Georgia Tech had the best team in the nation a couple of times with some of the players that went through there, and they just couldn't quite ever just make it all kind of happen. And one year where they lost in the Elite Eight to Georgetown, where they were just the best team in the nation. And look at the players that went through. Eric, I would love to take a basketball fan who doesn't know the history of Georgia Tech basketball, take him over to Bobby Adams Stadium, walk him through the Hall of Fame over there, and say, look at these guys. Oh, my God. That guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. I mean, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a time in the 80s where they could have put together an NBA All-Star team just of Georgia Tech alum.
Right. You know, I mean, wait. Yeah. You had Kenny Anderson and Stephon Marbury and Mark Price and John Sally. Yep. I mean, it just went on. Dennis Scott, and they just went on and on and on. Yeah, Tom Hammonds, and yeah.
I'd take that starting five and win an NBA championship.
You know, right. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, right. And so, I mean, yeah, they had great teams. You know, Dwayne Farrell was on this team, yeah. I mean, it was
Rodney Rogers.
You know, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, it definitely got a historic, a very, very, very strong history of quality basketball players and alumni at Georgia Tech. On the flats, or I guess they don't really call it on the flats for the basketball team, do they?
No, not so much. But yeah, but it's a football stadium. But that's all right. You know, I mean, we would just, because that's where the Hall of Fame is. So we'll roll with it.
What alumni? You know, if you compared Georgia Tech's football alumni, basketball alumni, and baseball alumni, which of the three sports would have the biggest, you know, best history? Because their baseball alumni is pretty.
I don't know. Maybe golf.
I didn't even think about that one.
Maybe golf. You look at their golf like, oh wow, okay. You know,
David Duvall sitting there like, what about me? What about me?
When Stuart Sink made that punt, you know, that full court putt that he made. 404-726-0929. All right, let's weigh in. I want to hear from you Braves fans. If you're getting excited about the season, I had a call earlier. He thinks the Braves going to finish, you know, he's kind of, you know, pessimistic about the Braves, saying 7th or 8th. Am I overly optimistic thinking the Braves can be a World Series winner this year? Maybe I am. You could correct me and say, John, you're overselling the back end of the rotation. You're overselling Strider's return. You're overselling that they could fix the bullpen, which is my biggest concern. And you're not paying enough attention to the hole at shortstop. Whatever it is, you let me know here. Am I setting myself up to fail as a Braves fan, thinking that they're going to win the World Series this year? 404-726-0929 is the number. And I want to talk to you Falcons fans about what you think now about whether or not you think they've made progress in this offseason or if they've taken a step forward or backward. You tell me. I'm just trying to think of how to view it from a forward standpoint. I think I made that case, but maybe I didn't. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Where you have a chance to weigh in and give your opinion on anything that happens to be front and center for you. Doesn't just have to be Atlanta teams. Always willing to talk to teams. The only thing I ever say about that is, you know, if you're a fan of another team, then don't just come on my show and start dogging my teams. You can say, you can ask a question about, hey, you know, I'm a fan of this team. What do you, you know, what do you think about the shortcomings of your team? Because I'm going to talk about the shortcomings of yours. Now, if you're an Atlanta fan, you're welcome to complain all you want. I mean, they're your teams. That's all. 404-726-0929. And a lot to talk about here, like with the Braves being less than 2 weeks away from opening day. You know, what's your biggest concern going into the beginning of the year? Is it, you know, the back end of the rotation? Is it, my biggest concern personally is kind of the same position we were in a little bit last year, which is talking about how does 7, 8, 9 how does a bullpen shake out? Because I'm not really sure I'm getting a real clear picture of that just yet. Of course, we still have an ongoing concern at shortstop. And there's that. And is your concern that, and this would also be a fair concern, that you're not certain, because who knows, that Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna are going to be able to come back and be Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna. Though if they are, then I don't think there's any question the Braves are a World Series team. At least not my book, but that's just me. 404-726-0929. If you're a Falcons fan, I'd like to know what you think they might do with Kirk Cousins, because we're all just spitballing here and speculating. And what do you expect on defense this year? What do you think that they can do? I'm just trying to read between the tea leaves here and trying to figure this out. Because we know, I think, what we're going to get on the offense. There's a reason they spent a lot of time this week bulking up the backup of the offensive line, which is just to strengthen the offensive line. When you go out and, you know, you bring back Storm Norton, or you have Elijah Wilkinson, Kyle Hinton, Brandon Parker, and the guys that they got, these are all, you know, swing tackles, swing guards, veteran guys that have been around the league. That's what they wanted on the offensive line, is veterans. And so, okay, we're going to do that. And they could draft a center, by the way. And look, we want a solid, we really want to up our bench on the offensive line, which I think they did. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have still a hole. I think they need another wide receiver, but they may be able to address that in the draft. It wouldn't shock me if they went to, for all the talk of edges and interior defensive linemen, it wouldn't necessarily shock me if the Falcons took a defensive back with their first pick and a wide receiver with their second. And people are going to, what? And it wouldn't shock me, because, again, you've got to address holes on the team. There are two potential holes in the secondary still. And this is not to slam Clark Phillips or DeMarco Helms or anybody else who's here. It's just to say that, you know, you could upgrade it, because Justin Simmons is coming back. Richie Grant's gone. Thank God. So it's just a situation where you can make an argument that they could use another linebacker. You can make an argument, certainly, that they still need to use that pick on an edge or on, you know, the best interior defensive lineman. Okay, what do we have at the edge right now? We have Leonard Floyd. You have Arnold Ebiketie. Again, I only know what I don't know. I know they were high on Braylon Trice at the beginning of the year last year, but it doesn't appear that they're bringing back Matthew Judon, even though I thought Judon played fairly well, you know, towards the, you know, when they kind of made whatever shift they made. And again, we don't know what the actual shift was in terms of, you know, did Jimmy Lake's duties and how they viewed the defense. But I thought Judon, when he was kind of like freed, one of the reasons Judon wasn't making plays at the beginning of the year was they were asking him to drop into coverage because Troy Andersen got hurt, and you had Nate Landman out there who couldn't cover you or me. And so they were asking Judon to be a, you know, help cover wheel routes and tight ends and not just letting Judon loose. And when they were able to kind of do that toward the end of the year, you saw a little bit, you know, he started making more plays. So I wasn't necessarily opposed to the idea of bringing Matthew Judon back. They may not be, but I wasn't opposed to it. I think he's kind of indicated that he would come back. And maybe they're still talking. So I don't think it's out of the question that Matthew Judon is back on the team. It's possible. If he isn't, you have Trice, you have Ebiketie, you have Leonard Floyd, you have D'Angelo Malone at the moment. And then, you know, if you wanted to bring back a Smith-Williams or a Judon, you could have, you know, one of those guys. But if you brought Judon back, then there's no reason to draft an edge. There's none. there would be no reason to use a draft pick on an edge. I'm not really sure there's much of a reason to use a draft pick on an edge now, unless you say that Braylon Trice isn't 100%, you know, and you're just not expecting anything out of him. So I think they're leaning towards secondary as their primary target in round one. I mean, Jalen Walker, linebacker, you know, I mean, sure. I mean, a guy that could be. So I think they're looking in the back seven as opposed to the front four, if that makes sense, on defense. Linebacker, safety, corner, okay? And they still have to address wide receiver. That this is just my guess here, guys. And I think that they're trying to figure out how do we get a third-round pick. And there's a couple of ways to do it. One is to trade back in round one. And the other would be possibly to trade Kirk Cousins if you can unload him between now and, say, midnight tomorrow night, the next 36 hours. Now, will they do that? I think I'd be surprised if they did, but could they? Sure, of course they could. I mean, because I think there are teams that are interested in Kirk. I think the Browns are interested. I think the Steelers are interested. I still think the Titans might be interested because, again, we can't know how the Titans value Cam Ward as the number one pick. And if they really love Abdul Carter and feel that they can't pass on that guy and they can hold off on a quarterback for a couple of years, they could get Kirk Cousins in there and then say, all right, we'll let Kirk Cousins school Will Levis and see if he can't make something out of Will Levis. Remember, they still have Will Levis. And for all the mistakes they've made at drafting a quarterback, they could let Will kind of sit behind Kirk for a couple of years and really learn the position. And maybe they don't have to spend that draft capital on going out and getting a quarterback that they're not 100% sold on. I'm not saying that Cam Ward can't play. Obviously, he can. I don't know what kind of pro Shedeur Sanders is going to be. I don't think he's Lamar. Could he be a Kyler Murray? Sure. Could he be a bust? Could he turn into a Trey Lance? Sure. My only problem with the criticism of Shedeur Sanders, and I'm not in the business of backing Colorado guys because I can't stand Colorado. As much as I hate the Swampers, as much as I hate Colorado Buffaloes, okay? Golden Buffaloes, my college version of the Swampers, Colorado Golden Buffaloes. Can't stand them, okay? So I'm not in the business. And they're both black and gold, so I don't know. Maybe I have some aversion. I have no idea. But so I can't stand them. So I'm not in the business of ever defending anybody that played with that Buffalo on their helmet, whether it was black and gold or blue and gold. Doesn't matter to me. So, but Shedeur, he strikes me but then again, I always have to say that I like his dad. And so he strikes me as being a fine young man. And that he's got a little bit of a toot. So what? I want my quarterback to have a little bit of a toot. And people are taken aback that he's got this kind of toot to him. Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the quarterback goes up there and go, I'm not sure if I'm humble and I don't know. We'll see if I can play in the NFL. And, hopefully I can have an impact on a team. And I know they're going to use a high draft pick on me, but, maybe, 4 or 5 years I can develop. Is that what you really want? Or you want somebody standing up there going, damn, son, I'm going to be a star. I want that guy. And so Shedeur gets on the right situation with the right coach and the right team. Yeah, maybe. I have no idea what kind of player he's going to be until I see him in action in the NFL. He's going to have to improve on some stuff here. But so how much of that was due to the fact that he was running around trying to save his life behind that offensive line at Colorado? Can he turn himself into more of a pocket presence quarterback? He may be able to. But I couldn't really tell, because more times than not, when he was playing at CU, or as we used to call it, CU later, he was running for his life because the offensive line was so bad. Pat Shurmur couldn't get that offensive line locked down, and Bieniemy's out there scratching his head. For that coaching staff is going, I don't know, we got guys and they don't seem to know how to block. Their scheme was terrible. Shedeur would take a snap and he'd be like, bail. It was like fire drill every snap. So he's just running around left, right, trying to make something happen. So I didn't get a real good sense as to how he might, translate into the NFL. And Cam Ward looks like he's the real deal. Now, but again, remember, Tennessee's been burned twice between Malik Willis and Will Levis. That's a lot of draft capital on quarterbacks that did not work out for them. So is that the route they want to go on? I mean, if you go, because you can never know about quarterbacks, boys and girls, moms and dads, we can never know about quarterbacks. Otherwise, Kyle Shanahan, the great legendary Kyle Shanahan, will just use him as the proof positive, Mr. Lost Playbook, as the proof positive, Mr. Throw It When You're Up 28-3, Mr. Proof Positive, that you can never know about quarterbacks. Because he traded up to get Trey Lance. Traded up to get Trey Lance, saying Trey Lance is going to be a superstar in the NFL. And as a throwaway with the very last pick of the first round, he said, hey, maybe we'll just take another quarterback. What the hell? I mean, it's always good to have quarterback depth. Take that Brock Purdy kid out of Iowa State with the last pick. No, last pick of the draft. I mean, Mr. Irrelevant. So you can never know about quarterbacks. And the only thing that saved Kyle Shanahan's backside was that Brock Purdy was the guy and Trey Lance was not. If Brock Purdy is no good, then Kyle Shanahan's not coach. He's not a head coach. I guarantee you that. He's back being an offensive coordinator in college. Because he would have been out on his keister real fast. So you can never know with quarterbacks, right? I mean, you could go back the litany of quarterbacks. Josh Allen came out of Wyoming. I watched Josh Allen play at Wyoming, and I went, hey, that guy's no good. Because we called him Josh Overthrow. Me, he threw interceptions left and right. I mean, it was obvious he was big and strong, could run, had a big arm. But that dude couldn't throw it. I mean, it was pick. That was what he was at Wyoming. Now he's the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. You can never know. You can never, ever know. Did the Green Bay Packers know Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers, that they didn't kick Brett Favre out sooner? Going, hey, dude, you're Brett Favre. This dude's actually better than you. But they let him sit on the bench for 3 years? Not just a year and kick Brett Favre to the curb? They didn't force him out? I'm not saying that Brett Favre wasn't a great quarterback. He was. Aaron Rodgers was a better quarterback than Brett Favre. They were both great, but Rodgers was better. So you can never really know until a player gets... did I think that when he was at Auburn that Bo Nix was going to turn into a Heisman candidate and an effective NFL quarterback? Hell no! What were you watching when he was at Auburn? Dude was lost. he was lost. We're like, oh my God, Patrick Nix, your son sucks. Didn't we all say that? Is there an Auburn fan who denies that? That when Bo Nix left and you went, oh, thank God. Well, maybe it's just the right position and the right coaches and the right to get a player to go in the right direction. That's all. So, again, I can't know how they value them. But I think the I look at the Tennessee Titans as being kind of an interesting case here. They have the number one pick. I'm presuming that if they take a quarterback with number one, they're not taking Shedeur Sanders. They're not taking Jackson Dart. If they take a quarterback number one, it's only going to be Cam Ward. So the question becomes to them, how much are they convinced that Cam Ward is a superstar quarterback in the NFL? Or are they looking at Abdul Carter going, this guy's going to be a superstar? Because I think Abdul Carter is going to be a great multi-year. Have you watched this guy play? Did you see him at Penn State? Yeah, he is. He's actually going to be a great NFL edge. He's going to be a superstar NFL edge. That I'm convinced of. And if you're convinced of that, maybe you take Kirk Cousins. And maybe you make a trade in the next 36 hours. And Falcons eat some or all the contract for this year. And you give him a third-round pick and go, we'll go with Kirk Cousins and Abdul Carter. And that move right there makes Tennessee infinitely better instantly. On Sports Radio 92 on the game. Just had a text from a friend of mine saying, what's your biggest issue with the bullpen? I went, they got nobody out there. AJ's gone. Jimenez is hurt. Daisbell Hernandez has been terrible this spring. They got a bunch of non-roster guys out there. Unless they're willing to, and I don't think they are. I know maybe, you know, Grant Holmes matriculates to the bullpen but what do you got out there? You got Iglesias, right? You got Dylan Lee. You don't have a whole lot out there. Buck Farmer? You're okay. What's your 7-8-9? What's your night shift? I have no idea. Right. Yeah, that bullpen, I think they need to make a move into the bullpen before the season starts. Unless you want to put Smith-Shawver out there, which I don't think they're going to do. They can't move Ian into the, I guess it could. I mean, I don't know what they can do. I just, my, the bullpen is my, I'm like, okay, I'm not really seeing what they're doing with this pen. That's my biggest concern, because otherwise I think they're fine. Let's go to Ken. He joins us here at 404-726-0929. Ken, welcome to the show. Hey, Ken.
Hey, John. What's up?
What up? What you got?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just had a quick little point I wanted to make about the Hawks. And it's just really just voicing a little bit of frustration from being disappointed last night. Not that, you know, we haven't had disappointing losses this season. But it seems to me like when we finally had a little bit, you know, coming together, and the teams we played recently, they had some injuries then, but, you know, that is what it is. I was disappointed because you had Trey playing a pretty bad game last night, and you had a couple guys that were popping off in the first quarter, like Mo Gay was one of them. And I looked at the end of the game, and I noticed more and more that he wasn't out there. And I looked at the end of the game, and he had the same 5 points, 3 rebounds that he had roughly in the first quarter, and he only played a total of 9 minutes. While Zubac and Kawhi and the guys were just running wild in the paint, but they weren't doing it as much when he was hopping around and blocking and affecting a couple shots. And I just wonder, like, why Quinn does that from time to time, you know, with certain players.
Well, the Hawks still have, you know, some work to do on the roster. I'm not sure that I – let me start by asking you this. Do you view and being picked where he was in the draft, he better – but do you view Onyeka Okongwu as being a starting five for this team for a number of years?
I honestly don't. I think he brings a lot to the team in terms of, you know, IQ, some intangibles. But for me, for him to be 6'10", it just doesn't look like it to the eye when he's out there on the floor. And if you're going to play undersized, at least have a higher motor than what he has, or a little bit more athleticism. And I don't get that from Okongwu to play the style that he plays. He doesn't stretch the floor enough to, shooting that could help open up the offense for, like, Trae Young to, you know, have more space in the paint. And, you know, he doesn't have a great skill set offensively. He has a good touch around basket, and he does score off of putbacks and, you know, loose plays, but he doesn't have an offensive skill set that a starting center can really, you know, solidify that spot right now. I think they need to upgrade it in the offseason. I'm a big fan of trying to go after Miles Turner. I don't think you give him huge money, but you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. I think that the three biggest decisions they have to make, notwithstanding your point about Mogi last night, I don't really look at the remaining, 15 games and whatever they do in the play-in as being anything more than just kind of playing out the season here, frankly. I mean, hopefully it's a little bit fun, but I have no expectation. So right. I'm only focused on next year and what they have to do in terms of elevating the team again. So you're going to get Jalen Johnson back. You have to make a decision as to whether or not Okongwu, because, you know, he was a top five, top six pick in the draft. Is he going to actually develop into a number one? Do you have to go get a Miles Turner to be your number one five, or can you just go get a veteran big that's not Mo Gay, but a veteran who's bigger, stronger, who can spell Okongwu, because you've got the other four on the floor and you really don't need to run the offense through the post. So and then what do you do as far as, I think you need to get a veteran backup point guard, a new version of Lou Williams. So, right. You know, solidifying the bench in the offseason.
You got Kobe, you got to see what you got with him. He's supposed to come back.
Yeah, I know.
Can we finally get a good look at him next year?
Yeah,
I agree.
I don't disagree. I mean, at this point, I think I've seen enough of Kobe Bufkin when he is healthy to know that I think he's a down bench guy. I don't think he's the guy I want coming off replacing Trey.
Hey, but, I can't argue with that.
he just, I think.
My last thing.
I think they can do better.
Real quick. My last thing. If you look at the roster, you got to get better. You got to get better to compete with the team. You know, I've heard you say it a lot, and I'm a big advocate with you, that you got to give Trae Young something while he's here before, you know, that comes to an end. You got to get him a star or some kind of strong roster to work with. And so, you know, you got to upgrade this team. Got to be more competitive to contend. What spot in your lineup, starting with the starters, do you see a clear need for upgrade? You're not going to upgrade Jalen Johnson because he shows so much promise. You're not going to upgrade Trey. You're not going to upgrade Dyson. It only leaves you the small forward and the center. And you've got a number one pick at small forward that you have to invest in, and he looks pretty good to invest into right now. So that leaves the center position.
Yeah, that's why we just talked about it. I said you have to make a decision about why I ask you the question. How do you feel about Okongwu as your lead five, because you're obviously moving on from Clint. If he's your lead five, then you just talked about it, because the other four are the other four I'm fine with. Zach and Dyson and Jalen and Trey, I'm fine. That's good. I'm good with that. And so the question becomes, what do you do? Is Okongwu that guy, or do you have to go out and get a Miles Turner to be the number one and put Okongwu back on the bench, or trade him? And then just, you know, do you have to totally change that position out and go from Okongwu and Clint to Turner and somebody else? Or do you, do you live with Okongwu and then you just get a veteran that you can put in there, get a version of somebody that's strong and tough and can be kind of an enforcer and just get your rebounds? Or do you get a stretch guy? Because I think otherwise on the bench, the two things you need are either you need a backup five, and that's either Okongwu to Miles Turner, or it's somebody to Okongwu. And you need in my opinion, a veteran point guard to be a Lou Williams type point guard to Trey to come in and just, you didn't have to, I don't need him to do a ton. I mean, just be a Jeff Teague, just get out there and not make mistakes and do stuff. Because I think the rest of the bench is fine. Healthy, I think I've seen enough from, Niang and from Terrence Mann and from Caris LeVert that I'm like, okay, look. Because I was looking at it this way, Ken. You have your starting five. Then your bench, is your bench a starting five in and of itself? Your point guard, your two, your three, your four, your five. If you put those five guys on the floor, is that a pretty good group? Is that five a good group? Not individually, but as a group, are they a good group? And I think they're missing a couple of pieces from that five. And if they can, because otherwise, I think you could say, well, if you had a starting five of, Caris LeVert, Terrence Mann, George Jiang, and a point guard, and a big, Okongwu and a point guard, okay, I could roll with that. And that's your second unit? Okay, then now I'm good. You see what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think, if this thing's going to be competitive, you got to go with the Miles Turner and Okongwu going back to the bench. But I think Okongwu really wants to be a starter, and that just might not be.
I'm sure everybody wants to be a starter. I want to be a starter. That has nothing to do with anything. Thanks, Ken. Do appreciate it. All right. That was Ken talking about the Hawks. You want to jump in on the Braves, Falcons, Hawks, you can. 404-726-0929. Ahead of Selection Sunday, ahead of Vesting Monday. Who the hell knew Vesting Monday? Chris, welcome to the show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how y'all doing? I just wanted to touch on the center position for the Falcons. I think that's not really being considered as much as it should be, because with the inside zone scheme that we run, you can't even run that scheme without having a pivot center in the middle that's like tip-top. And I'm thinking that part of the reason they showed up in UGA the way they did is because Jared Wilson is the top pivot outside, inside zone center coming out in this draft. I just want to just touch on that.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, I think, again, this is – do you trade down? This is why we go back to not having a third-round pick, right? And so, especially considering it was for Matthew Judon. Can you create a third-round pick by trading Kirk Cousins like in the next 36 hours and create a third-round pick? Or are you forced to trade down – not forced to, but, well, I guess, yeah, actually forced to, Chris – trade down from 15 to 22 or something and try to pick up a third-round pick in order to take a third-round pick – and couple it with your second round pick and move up in the second round to take a Jared Wilson. See what I'm saying? I don't disagree with you that I think that that's the maneuverability they'd like to be able to do. If, in fact, they looked at this is why they haven't gone into every said, oh, you got to go out and get one of these for centers from here or there. They may have looked at Jared Wilson and say, okay, we really like him, but we value him in the second round, but we think we could trade up to get him in the second round, you know, up at the top five picks in the second round, but we're going to have to be able to get a third round pick to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up trading down in the second round. I think they might. I'm thinking they're going to stay put in the first round. That's just my thoughts.
But I don't think they're going to take Wilson at 15.
No. They might take Starks or maybe that cornerback out of Texas or something like that.
Yeah. No, Walker. But again, if you and again, we can't know. This is why I think the first goal here is to, you know, settle the, you know, if you can, settle the Kirk Cousins thing now. And if you can't, then you just go, okay, we'll shelve that and we'll worry about it in October. Doesn't mean you're not working on it now. Because the first goal here in terms of improving this team through the draft, now that you've pretty much sort of exhausted free agency for the most part, unless you're going to bring back a Simmons or a Jadon, one of your guys, you pretty much exhausted free agency. I don't think they're making any other big moves here. They could surprise me, but I don't think they are, is to go ahead and, because they're not worried about a backup quarterback if they trade Kirk Cousins. There's other guys out there. Just go get a guy. You know, go get a Joe Flacco-ish guy. So then there's plenty of those out there. So I think you got to figure out, how do you get a third-round pick? And, again, the only two ways, trade Kirk Cousins to try to get a third-round pick, even if you have to eat some or all of that $27.5 million salary and do that in the next few hours, or you're going to have to trade down in round one when we get to draft day, you know, a little over a month from now, in order to create that. If you're going to, because I think with Wilson, I think the problem, Chris, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I agree with you, by the way. They go there and go, well, we could go Malachi Starks and Jared Wilson, and if they really value Wilson, other teams are going to know that, and so they're going to know that the Falcons feel that they have to move up in round two to get him.
Right. They might have to move up to get them.
And so teams are going to just say, sure, we'll take your 15th pick of the second round and your fourth. They're going to go, no, we want a third. They're going to make you pay a high price for it.
Leverage.
Yeah, they do. They have the leverage. And right now, this team, this franchise does not have that leverage, not just in not having a third, fifth, and sixth round pick, which is part of it, but also in the fact that other teams are well aware of the fact that the general manager is under, you know, has got a gun to his head to get things done immediately or he's going to be out.
Yeah. Price of doing business, though. That's just how it is.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be, isn't it going to be fascinating? Do you think there's any chance, Chris, that they could suddenly we could get a newsflash or I guess there's always a chance. Do you think that it's possible that we could actually get a news flash that they've traded Kirk Cousins in the next before midnight tonight?
I don't think they have enough leverage to be able to trade him for draft picks. Or I think they're gonna end up having to cut him. That's just my thoughts. I don't see a team being that. It's kind of dumb for a team that knows our situation to give us draft picks for Kirk Cousins, even if like their starting quarterback got hurt or something like that. Maybe that might happen, like later on when we're playing games and we're in a season. Yeah, he might get traded in, but not anytime soon. We probably end up cutting him. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, there's no chance they're cutting him. All right, everybody has to understand. I appreciate that, Chris. There is absolutely no chance the Atlanta Falcons are going to cut Kirk Cousins at all. They'll make him sit on the bench the whole season. They are not cutting him. I can't stress that to you enough. 404, you know, they're going to trade him. The question is when. 404-726, they're not going to cut him. It destroys them. If they cut him tomorrow, they'd have a $60 million cap hit. $60 million. They're not cutting. 404-726-0929. John Fergie with you on a Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.